With a backdrop of very recognizable buildings to those familiar with the university's campus, photo after photo captures a really fascinating scene. A couple thousand WVU students largely divided into two groups, aligned along University Avenue. A few students are seen perched in trees. Others are leaning over balconies. Policemen are armed with large guns and tear gas. The faces of students are serious, pensive, clearly wondering what might happen next.
I have never seen what I consider to be an objective recounting of what happened at West Virginia University during that three-day period.
That was May 5th, 6th, and 7th, 1970. Morgantown attorney Dan Ringer was a 21-year-old physics major when on that third day of what had been quiet anti-war demonstrations, he decided to go check out the growing crowd about midday.
And I had a little point-and-shoot camera that I carried around for picnics or hikes or things like that. And I just decided to get down and start taking pictures. Somebody would get up every once in a while, make a little speech, and there would be singing and some music going on. Nobody wanted to go burn down a building. Nobody wanted to go blow up anything. So there are a number of pictures like that.
This warm spring day occurred less than a week after the U.S. commenced bombing of Cambodia, days after the Kent State shootings where four students were killed and 11 injured, and less than 6 months after the reinstatement of the military draft.
The young men on campus were worried about being drafted. They were afraid, I think, if they got drafted, somebody was going to start shooting at them. If somebody shoots at you, they might kill you. The young women, they were concerned about what was going to happen to their boyfriends, their future husbands, their spouses, because some of us were married at that time. And then there were the Kent State shootings, which university students identified with seriously. I think we could see ourselves being shot like that. It's hard to describe. We were afraid for our futures. We were afraid for the future of the country.
That week, protests on several college campuses across the country erupted into violence. WVU's director of university relations was reporting there were 150 war protesters on campus, compared to 2,000 students who were supporting the country's military involvement. This according to a publication of the West Virginia State Archives entitled A Generation in Revolt. Ringer disputes that first number and says allegiances were much more evenly divided among a crowd of 2,000. While Morgantown police had been working with campus security in a low-key fashion since the day before, directing traffic and patrolling on foot, on May 7th, they arrived looking prepared for a possible volatile turn of events.
The picture that stands out the most in my mind is members of the Morgantown Police Force standing in the street wearing gas masks and carrying big sticks in their hands. Those sticks were brand new, just off the shelf, hickory axe handles from Baker's Hardware in Morgantown. And I knew that because I was working part-time at Morgantown Hardware just up the street, and I had friends down at Baker's, and I recognized the price tags, which were still affixed to the axe handles. They never used them, but they were there nonetheless.
According to local newspaper accounts in the Daily Athenaeum and the Morgantown Dominion News, a small group of students was trying to get WVU President James Harlow to meet with them. They wanted to persuade Harlow into making a statement condemning U.S. involvement in the war. Harlow refused. Eventually, a student strategy of blocking the street through the center of campus was adopted in hopes this would force the president into a meeting. The crowd had caused a bottleneck when Governor Arch Moore sent in a detachment of state police late afternoon.
I was on Grumbine's Island. It is a traffic island in the middle of University Avenue to take pictures. And I was looking through the viewfinder back toward the body of students. And all of a sudden, I noticed that they were running away. And I turned around, still looking through the viewfinder on my camera, and there was a West Virginia state trooper standing not more than 3 or 4 feet away from me with a tear gas device spraying me head to toe.
Several of Ringer's photos show students with bandanas covering their faces, protecting themselves from potential pepper spray or tear gas. Officers did use tear gas to clear the streets. Even so, Ringer believes police did not overreact and says no students, including himself, were injured. The demonstration broke up peacefully by 7 o'clock. Ringer says on a day that could have turned out differently, both protesters and counter-demonstrators were well-behaved. Nothing more exchanged than some harsh language, minimal shoving, and the throwing of water balloons and a few rolls of toilet paper.
Look at the pictures, I think there was more a fear on the part of the university, the city, and maybe the state of West Virginia that something would happen, but never did.
The university also reported no injuries and about $50 worth of property damage. But President Harlow tried throughout the following summer to either expel or deny grad school admission to a group of six students that he believed were radicals breaking the law. They came to be known as the Morgantown Six, but the prosecuting attorney's office said there was insufficient evidence for a conviction, and after several university discipline committee hearings, no charges stuck, and the six were either readmitted to undergrad or admitted to graduate school. 45 years later, Ringer says student anti-war demonstrations like the one at WVU made a difference.
I remember one of the seminal events that particular day was when someone grabbed a bullhorn and announced that the AP had picked up the stories of the day of the demonstrations at WVU, and everybody cheered wildly because we were being noticed, apparently. I think the student demonstrations at that point in time were very, very important in forming opinions of our leaders. They couldn't possibly have ignored them.
Ringer's photos are available at the University Library and the West Virginia State Archives. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Suzanne Higgins.